Take your Bibles, please, this morning. Please, please, please get a Bible out. It's good to have everybody here today. Good to have everybody watching online, everybody out in Kenya. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but a lot of times when they meet out in Kenya and watch us, they're sitting outdoors and it'll start raining and they'll keep coming. And that blesses my heart. We have it very good in this nation. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. We have it very good here. And the wicked nature of man is if we have it at this level, we're not satisfied until we have it at this level. And then once we get there, we want to go up another step. And that's just our nature. So I appreciate everybody being here. I appreciate everybody watching online, being faithful. This couple here from Swansea, they've been watching us online. And then we have, I forgot, Hyun-mi, where is she? Does she have to leave already, or is she? Oh, she might have had to leave. She came all the way from Korea, okay, to just come and visit with us, and she left a blessing for us, and you pray for her. She's got some challenges going on right now, and just lift her up before the Lord. Seemed like a sweet lady. And I like these Koreans. Every time I met them, they've been nice people. So anyway, we have one, Sonia from Ohio or Michigan. I get that wrong every time. Anyway, she comes down. She's a blessing to be around. And the Korean, I don't know so much about the guys. The Korean women, especially the ones that have been around here, they go about as fast as a butterfly, just around here and there and everywhere. Anyway, it's just a blessing to see them, a blessing to meet them. Matthew chapter 22, you really pray for me this morning, all right? I'm like some of y'all. I don't want to be here today, okay? I want to be at home. I want to go to bed. And God knows what's going on. So you just pray for me and just lift me up before the Lord. I don't mind saying that. I don't say it to attract attention. I don't say it for a pity party or anything like that, but I'm not one of these preachers that's going to be smiling at you every time you see me, all right? Amen. I'm not one of these that's up all the time and because I say positive words and think positive thoughts all the time. I don't do that. I think negative thoughts every now and then. Sometimes they're in your direction, all right? Sometimes they're... Huh? Oh, no, I don't have to be negative to pick on Roy, I can tell you that. Bless your heart, Roy. Roy fits in well here, doesn't it? Amen? Oh, come on, that you were supposed to go on. Yeah, amen. So, I don't say that for attention or pity party or nothing like that. It's just that if you get anything good out of today, you blame God for that one and not me, all right? So anyway, last Sunday morning, I mentioned, I just had the thought about the ministry of angels and how it applies to us and how it affects us and some things that we're supposed to do. And I put this together last night, and Lisa knows I was not myself last night. It's not very good shape. So I have no idea what I'm preaching this morning, but we're going to let God do it for us. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And let me give you the context of what's going on here. The story is that they were trying to catch Jesus in a trap. All right? The Pharisees were always trying to do that, and I want you to pay attention to it. Because there are people out there who do not have you in mind. They do not care about you. They do not care about your soul. They only care about themselves and about their quote-unquote version of the truth. They will dream up things or they'll see things and they'll latch onto it, and then they'll use that as a sort of a domination over you, or they'll use it to elevate themselves while they lower you. Stay away from people like that. You don't need them. Okay? You don't need them. And let me just say this to the people here and say to everybody online. We use the internet for what we do here. God has blessed that richly. There's no doubt in my mind about it. All right? Some of you are asking me about, you know, this idea came up where we could have a show on a television station in Chicago. And I asked you to pray about it. And one of the things I thought is, why should we go backward? Okay? Everybody right now is moving from television to the internet. Well, we're already there. Okay? So we'll just keep going that way. But don't get your theology from Facebook. Don't. If it's on Facebook, it's probably not true. Every now and then, something will be. Okay? But don't get your theology from Facebook. People will use that to elevate themselves over you. They will post something about what they do and what they stand for, but they will not post on there what they do wrong. And how bad and wicked and awful they are. Okay? They won't do that. So that's just a warning to you, all right? But they were trying to get an advantage over Jesus. And they were saying, they brought up this deal about, he was dealing with the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a sect of the Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. They believed that you live for God here and you die and that's it. It's over with, all right? And so they were trying to mock Jesus, and they were trying to mock the Word of God based on their theology. And then what they did was they were saying, okay, Jesus, here's a guy, he marries a wife, and he cannot raise up seed through this wife, and he dies. So the law said that his brother could have this woman to wife, okay, or a near kinsman. So he doesn't raise up seed. He dies. And then the third one. You made it all the way to seven husbands now, seven brothers, had the same wife, and they were not able to raise up a child. So, Jesus, smarter than thou, when she gets to heaven, whose wife is she going to be? And because remember, they did not believe in the resurrection. So here's what Jesus said in verse 29. Jesus answered them and said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. Underline that in your Bible. Okay? Your errors will come because you do not know the Bible. Say amen to that. Amen. Okay? Mistakes you make personally in your belief system will be wrong because you don't believe the Bible. People will lie to you, and you might be leaning in the direction of believing them because you do not know the Bible. Okay? You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So here's what he's going to teach us. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Angels of God in heaven do not marry. Okay, they do not have a wife, do not have a husband. Your wife now or your husband now will not be that in glory. Will not be that way. All right? And you'll be fine with that. You really will. Okay? God's going to recreate. He's going to make all things new for us. And everything's going to be good. So here's what he says. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. So now the thing I want you to focus on here is that when you and I leave this world in the resurrection, Jesus himself specifically said that we are going to be as the angels. Okay, so remember from last Sunday, I went through the Bible and showed you about the sons of God. The sons of God, they are the angels. That's in the Old Testament. Then you get to the New Testament and it applies the phrase sons of God to us in the New Testament. We are currently, right now, sons of the Most High God. Amen? Okay? We have been adopted in, we've been grafted in, we've been brought into that, but we are right now, currently, Paul said it, we are sons of God, but John said it's not known yet what we're going to be like. But when we have that change, like what he's talking about here in the resurrection, We shall be like him, and we shall be as the angels in heaven. Now turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. I like to, when I'm kind of introducing something that I know that I've never really thought of this way before, and when I get these little thoughts, I've got to go through the scripture to make sure that what I think I'm hearing from God is right. Okay, I have to know that. I have to know from the Bible that it's right. I hear from people all the time that have come out of such and such church where they're doing all kinds of weird, wacky things in the church service, and they're believing all these beliefs and so on. And somebody pointed me to a website where it was actually written on there. So we need to remember now that not everything that God does is in the Bible. That is a setup. Okay? That is a setup for you to believe what they tell you to believe. Because if you accept that, if you accept the idea that not everything is in the Bible, okay, you're setting yourself up to believe. They will put you in dominion by their words. They will put you under their dominion, and you will be in bondage to whatever they tell you to do. And if you don't perform this and you do not do this, like they tell you, you got to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. Bible didn't say that. Bible didn't say that. But that's what they told you. But then they told you also that not everything God wants you to know is in the Bible. Okay? You're going to have to get it from them. So this idea that we have right now on this earth a ministry of angels. No, we can't fly around. No, we can't disappear here and end up over here. We can't do those things. But there are certain things that God positioned the angelic beings for. And this is kind of what we're looking into. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Can't remember who it was, but one of the Apollo astronauts, it was before Apollo 11, as they were on their way, the previous Apollo mission didn't land on the moon, but it went to the moon, circled around a few times, and then came back to Earth. And while they were going there, one of those, can't remember which astronaut it was, but while they were on there, he read out loud, and it was on the radio, and they broadcast it all across the world. He was reading Psalm chapter 8 online. Well, Madeline Murray O'Hara threw a fit over that. And she said, that's using government money. He's a government agent espousing religion. And so after that, they kind of had to tone that down. Okay? But anyway, he was reading Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than who? Than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Look at that. Even though he has made us lower as far as our ability and our bodies are concerned than angels, he has still crowned us with glory and dominion and honor. He said, verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. This is why we can eat sheep and beef and deer and chicken and catfish. Amen? Okay? He's given us dominion over those things. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. All right? So now I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And just you pray for me and I'll pray for you and you pray for the message. All right? Father in heaven, Lord, I need your help. I pray, dear God, that you would help me from heaven today. Lord, let my mind be clear and my heart be clear. Lord, help me, dear God, to be a blessing to these people. Help your word, dear God, to go solid into their minds and their hearts. Give them encouragement. Give them blessing. Lord, these people have come from, Lord, some of them have come a very, very long way just to sit here in this church. And I pray, dear God, that it would be worth their while. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just open up your hand wide and feed them. And Lord, Father, just give us all a blessing. Lord, bless all of us here. Bless those that are in their homes watching online, maybe some people at work. Bless those that are out in Kenya. We love them. We ask you, God, Lord, to just feed them and take very good care of them. Lord, keep them all safe out there. They're out there, Lord, and it's dark already. I pray, dear God, that you'd keep them safe and keep them safe as they make their way home tonight. Bless the pastors that are out there. Just encourage them and feed them, Lord, from your word, and give them an overflow, Lord, so they can share it with their people. Be a blessing to all of them out there. Bless the work and the labor, dear God, that you've given into our hands. And Father, Lord, we're not sufficient for these things, but Lord, you've asked us to be stewards over this great thing, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, help us to be faithful in that stewardship. Bless your word today. Help me to preach it today. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Just kind of hold on here for a minute while I just kind of reiterate this for a minute. So he's teaching us. He said there in the Gospels there that we shall be as the angels. We are known that we are made lower than the angels, and yet he has crowned us with glory and honor. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then in verse 2, behold, now are we the sons of God. He means right now, you and I are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you need to remember that when Jesus came, when he taught his disciples about, he said, no man has seen God at any time. I have. And I'm telling you, I look just like him.
Amen.
I look just like him. That little baby, that Paige is holding in her belly, okay, is, for better or for worse, going to look like Matthew. Okay? Matthew looks a little bit like me. He's a big fellow. In that way, somebody say amen. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. This is part of the ministry of angels. And what I did was I thought I'll just go through the Bible. There's different places where angels show up in the scriptures and they do certain things. Now, here is just one. I'm just going to deal with one issue today. Just one thing that angels in heaven already are right now. And I never really thought much of this in years gone by as I was reading the Bible and learning it. And God's just kind of training me. God helped me to see things that go on in heaven that really already have gone on here on earth. But you're going to learn how it applies to you today. Genesis chapter 14, are you there? Say amen. The context of this is that there's a war between cities, and Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, got caught up in this warfare, and he got taken away. He was kidnapped. Well, it made Abraham mad. He's not even Abraham right now. He's still Abram. Abram got mad, got 400 of his servants, all armed them with swords, and they said, we're going to go get our man Lot, and all that stuff they took. So they went in, they fought the battle, and they retrieved Lot and did all that stuff. Well, along the way now, Abram meets somebody that, if you just read this passage here, you may not understand who this is. So in verse 18 of Genesis 14, he says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, let me show you from the Bible who Melchizedek is. I never really got this. Until you just study it out. And the Bible's going to give you ample understanding of who Melchizedek is. I'll give you the easy answer. Melchizedek is an angel. He is an angel that is standing before Abram, and he is a priest of the Most High God. So we're going to look into this priesthood of angels. Turn to Psalm chapter 110, verse 4. Psalm 110. Not going to put the verses up on the screen. I want you to study it. I want you to look at it. Psalm chapter 110, verse 4. Are you there? Say amen. A couple of you are still getting there. That's all right. Psalm 110 verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So two things we've learned here. Number one, Melchizedek is a priest. He's a priest of the Most High God. And number two, that there is an order of priests named after him. All right? If we just look at what the Bible says, there was an order of priests in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, among the Jews. And they were through what tribe? Levi. They were, so it was the order of Levi, but specifically, it was Aaron who was the high priest. And his sons were supposed to follow in his footsteps, but God then changed that a little bit later on because of the wickedness of Nadab and Abihu who offered strange fire. So we now have an order of priests, which means that there are other angels who are part of this particular order called the order of Melchizedek. And so here's what we're seeing here. We're going to have the New Testament back this up. It is seen here that Christ would be a high priest from a different order of that Aaron and the Levites were. Okay, we're gonna understand what that means. We're gonna get that here in a little bit. Now turn to, let's see here. I want to move around a little bit. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Where did I tell you? Romans what? Romans 1. Hold on to that. And hold your place there and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to establish Melchizedek first. Okay? I ain't kidding you. When I put this together, not very well. I like for it to be in order. But anyway, so this we're going to put this in order. Hebrews chapter 7. Bible says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, okay? Does anybody know what Salem is? It is Yerushalayim. It's Jerusalem, okay? It's not a cigarette. Amen? Okay? He is the king of Jerusalem, okay? Now, some say that Melchizedek is Christ. Some say that he is a high-ranking angel that is of the angelic order of priests. I lean toward that it's not Christ. Okay, but that's not neither here nor there. That doesn't mean this half of the church has to split off from this half of the church. Okay, it doesn't mean that at all. Okay, that's just kind of what I think. I think Melchizedek is the name given to a priest of angels in heaven, and Christ was the high priest of that order of Melchizedek. Does that make sense to everybody? If you say that Melchizedek is Christ, knock yourself out. I don't think the Bible proves or disproves one or the other either way. But anyway, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also, king of Salem, which is king of what? What does your Bible say? Peace. You know, when Jews meet one another or depart from one another, or when they talk on the phone, they get off the phone, what do they say? Shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word. It's been from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English. By the time we get it, we pronounce it Salem. But it's the same word, Shalom. Jerusalem is called the city of peace. Okay, right now it is anything but a city of peace. Somebody say amen. There are other places that you can go to in Israel that are far, far away from where all the bad stuff is going on, but Jerusalem is not one of those places. I've never been to Jerusalem, not looking to go anytime. The only Jerusalem that I really want to see is that one up there. Somebody say amen. Okay, but anyway, the Bible is establishing for you that Melchizedek And his order is an angelic order of priests. And I never really thought about that before. I never really considered that. But when you read all of the places in Hebrews, it tells you that in that the Levitical priesthood was a shadow of heavenly things. There are priests that gave attendance to the tabernacle and to the sacrifices and so on. There was an altar down on the earth. There was a most holy place. There was an Ark of the Covenant. Inside that Ark of the Covenant was the covenant itself, was the law. So therefore, there is a tabernacle in heaven. We know that from Scripture. We know it from Revelation. We know it from other places. And in that tabernacle or temple is a most holy place where God is sitting on his throne and is called the Ark of the Testament. But the Ark of the testament in heaven, is not the Old Testament law. It is the new covenant. It's the one that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody say amen. And if you think that the Ten Commandments was supposed to last forever and ever and ever, let me ask you, where are they? Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Where's that blood that they sprinkled seven times on the Ark of the Covenant on the Day of Atonement every year? It's gone. It's non-existent. It does. Some say that it's in a warehouse in Area 51. You've been watching too many movies, okay? Some say it's buried here. Some, it doesn't matter. It is gone. And there's even going to come a time, the Bible says, when the Jews themselves will not say, where's the Ark of the Covenant? They won't care. They have a better testament and a better covenant up in heaven. Somebody say amen. Now, if you read Revelation, you'll see those priests in action. There's seven of them right now that are inside the temple that are holding vials in their hand. And according to the book of Revelation, those seven angels are going to come out of the temple, and one by one they're going to pour their vials of wrath upon this earth. There are some angels who give attendance to the altar. There are some angels who are part of the praise portion of the temple in heaven. There are two cherubs right now that have their wings folded over God as he's sitting on the throne. And that's how God instructed Moses to make the Ark of the Covenant on this earth, was to put the image of there of two angels with their wings covering the Ark of God with sitting on that throne. And what I'm just telling you is that there is an angelic order of priests. Melchizedek is the order that those priests belong to, and Christ was the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. He did not come from, Christ did not come from the Levites. That's where Jesus came from. And I'll show you that in a minute. Verse 3, it's telling you who Melchizedek is. Number one, without father, without mother, it does not give you a lineage of Melchizedek. Does not say, now Melchizedek was the son of Aaron, who was the son of this. Does not say that. Does not say who his mother was. Descent. Doesn't say what line he comes from. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. And watch this now. He abideth a priest continually. Here once again, let me draw your attention to the Levite priesthood. Where is it? Doesn't exist. There are some Jews who are named Levi. There are some Jews who are named Cohen. They're of the Kohanim. There are other Jews who can trace their descendancy back to the tribe of Levi. But the truth is, none of them are performing the priestly duties. Because not only do they not have a temple in Jerusalem, they have not even erected a tabernacle anywhere. All the Jews have right now are the synagogues, which is just the gathering place. They may call them temple, they may call them the tabernacle, but they're not. No Jew does and performs any of the priesthood. That priesthood has been done away. Now look at verse 11, Hebrews 7, verse 11, same chapter. The Bible says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. Under the Levitical priesthood, Moses was a Levite. He received the law. If perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, which it's saying if perfection would come by the law, then you and I could be made perfect by the law. We could look at the law of God and simply say in our heart, I'm going to do that. I'm never going to break that law. And from this day forward, I am going to be perfect. You may have tried it. You may have thought. You may have wished it upon yourself. But the truth is, you can't do it. Can't perform it. There needs to be a better law, a better covenant, with a better priesthood. Understand me so far. Okay? Now watch this. For under the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For he said in verse 12, for the priesthood being changed. Now what he means here is, Christ is a high priest. We all accept that. But he was not born a Levite. And according to that law, the priest had to be a Levite. The priest couldn't be from Zebulun. He could not be from Naphtali. He could not be from Ephraim. And he could not be from Judah. The law that then was required that the priest be from Levi and only Levi. Christ wasn't. So he said, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. The Old Testament law did not provide a priest coming from Judah. So since now the priesthood is being changed, law has to be changed as well. You understand that? Okay? Let me kind of put it in perspective for you. 40 years ago, Congress did not pass any law that forbid someone downloading music from the internet free of charge. Why? There was no internet 40 years ago. There was no way 40 years ago to encode a cassette tape or an 8-track or a record into a digital media. No way could they ever have thought about that, could they? It wasn't until we start doing all this funny stuff that everybody said, I think we need new law here. Okay, does everybody get that so far? The Leviticus and the law that was given them was a foreshadowing of Christ. It was a shadow, but it was not the real thing. Okay, so there has to be a change of the law. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Now here's something that I like that you may or may not get. And if you don't get it, oh, maybe I'll try to help you one of these days. I just won't do it today. Okay? Let me go back to my words here. Now watch this. Okay? Levi, here's the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's the sons of Jacob. The firstborn son was Reuben. The secondborn son was, who knows? Simeon. Very good. Who was the thirdborn son? Levi. What is the third book of your Bible? Leviticus. Isn't that neat? Third son of Jacob was Levi. Third book in your Bible is Leviticus. And let me tell you why. In Genesis 3, what was Eve looking at? What was she dealing with? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. In that garden, in Genesis 3, that's what she was having to deal with. Okay? God picked the third tribe in this world. Leviticus has 27 chapters. Do the math on it. Okay? Some of you are going, what's math? Feel like me today, I can tell by looking at you. It's 3 times 3 times 3. Okay? In those 27 chapters, the book of Leviticus is all about the price for sin. If you go read it. Bring this sacrifice, bring this in, mix it with this deal. But it all had to do with the sacrifice. Okay? Death was given to us by Adam. Adam's first son, Cain, went off into obscurity. Abel was killed. So the only surviving son of Adam was who? Seth. It was his third-born son. So then Seth's lineage was all the way down to Noah. And everybody else in the world was killed except for Noah and who? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And everybody in this room, doesn't matter if their eyes go like this, doesn't matter if their skin's white and lily like mine, or it's dark or whatever it is, you came from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. You know what that means? Adam's sin and transgression was passed down to you. Now let's skip forward a few thousand years. Now we have Jesus Christ, who entered the ministry at age 30, ministered for 3 years, And at what age the cross? 33. How much money was paid for him to do that? 30 pieces of silver. How many crosses were up there? Because he was numbered with the transgressors. Isn't that neat? Okay? So he took that law from Levi that was against us, and he nailed it to his cross. You can find that story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we have a better law. Now we have a better covenant, because from where Jesus came from, Judah, it was not Reuben, it was not Simeon, it was not Levi, it was, guess who? Judah. He's number four. You get that? Four Gospels. New Jerusalem up there is built four square, and I can get into all that stuff. But he's from the number four tribe, number three tribe. Now, some of you may go, okay, that's pretty cool, let's move on. That's what we're going to do. I like stuff like that because it shows the order that God goes in. God's not willy-nilly about everything that he does. He does everything in an order and in a fashion. When you understand Jesus coming from the tribe of Judah, you understand. Here's why I'm throwing this at you. Because there's people out there who are constantly bombarding you on Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else, telling you, you got to live the law, you got to do the law, you got to keep the law, the law, the law, the law, the law. Christ did away with the priesthood. Christ did away with that law, the curse of that law. He did away with that stuff. We are under a new covenant now. Is it good to not commit adultery? Everybody say yes. What kind of church are you? It's good to not commit adultery, right? But it's been done. It's been done probably by everybody in here, at least with these right here. It's been done. And so the truth of it is, you cannot keep the law. There has to be a better covenant and a better way. Now, here's where I'm going with this. You and I have the ministry of angels right now. Okay? Here it is, quarter after 12. Now I'm ready to preach the message. Turn to Romans 12. Did you already turn there? Romans 12. Listen, when I'm slow, it takes me a while to get up. All right? Takes me a while to get there. Now I'm there. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. In the King James Bible, you is different than ye, or different than thee. Thee means one person. You means y'all. All y'all. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye, you all, present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. Here's the priest now of the Levite tribe, and he's been given a lamb or a goat or a bullock. He's been given grain, fine mingled with oil. He's been given whatever the people had, and he has had that given to him, and now he takes it, he examines it, and he takes it and he offers it. That's what he's presenting, the sacrifice, over to whatever part of the priest took the thing. They knew how to butcher it. They knew how to carve it. They knew how to get the blood out of it. They knew how to, in some cases, they had to clean the entrails, the bowels. But the bottom line is, they took that thing and they laid it on the altar. They laid it on the altar and it's gone. It's over with. No more sacrifice. This animal cannot be sacrificed twice. Somebody say amen. That's your duty. You have that ministry of angels in that we are to take our bodies and present them as a living sacrifice. And I like the fact that he put the living part. He does not tell us to kill ourselves. Does not tell us to do that. This is a perpetual priesthood. This is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. See that word service? That's a priesthood word. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was of a certain order of the Levites, and he had his time whereby he went to Jerusalem and he stayed a few months and he did his little particular order, did his service, and for a few months, and then he went home and someone else took his place. His service, that's why he was in the temple when he was. His service was to do his thing, keep the lights lit or whatever it was in that time. It is your time for service. Your time for service and what God has given you to do is not unreasonable. It's not harder for than you do. God to make it easy. You're to offer your body as a living sacrifice, and that is to be holy, and that is to be acceptable by to God as a reasonable service. The way that we do that is, I covered this here before about being washed. You must be washed. When they brought the animal in, that animal had to be washed. They even took, I can't remember what under what circumstances it was, but they would take the bowels out of that animal, and they would wash them clean with water. And make them clean. Then offer them on the sacrifice. Then put them on the altar. God wants us to offer. Not everybody else. Not your neighbor. Not the person sitting next to you in the church. Or the person across the aisle that you don't like what they're doing. He does not tell you to go and offer them. He tells you to offer you as a reasonable sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is your calling. Your calling is to take that thing that is to be destroyed and get on the altar and destroy it. Hebrews chapter 2. I like this now. Makes sense. Remember, this is us, angels, not the ministry. This is us being priests, not of Levi, but of a new covenant. He does not tell us. D used to own goats back in the day. I never had D come over here to the church and say, "Pastor, we're still this thing in the sanctuary." No, D, no, we're not. Okay? He didn't tell us to offer squirrel and rabbit and deer and turkey and goats. He told us to offer ourselves. And how many, you know, how often they did that? Every day. Every day. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Now watch this. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to let you go. I don't want to, but I'm going to let you go. Here's your ministry. Ministry of angels. Here's your ministry. Wherefore in all things it behooved, this is Hebrews 2, 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Let me stop right here. Okay? You've heard me say this before. God made me like you. God made you like me. Amen? Now, let me throw something else at you. Your Budweiser drinking neighbor. Your neighbor woman that keeps having different men's cars in her driveway. The people in your subdivision or your trailer court or your neighborhood that probably smoke marijuana every now and then, probably got the day after Christmas, you could hear them taking the trash, empty beer bottles. God made you like them. Because you used to be the one dragging out the trash can full of empty wine and beer bottles. God made you like them. The reason why he called the Levite tribe to be a priesthood, I have this little theory. When you remember their sister Dinah? Remember how she went into town and the king's son there got her and raped her? Okay? You know who it was that went after him? Levi was one of them. And Dad was ticked. Dad said, "You've made us stink down amongst all the people around here." Levi had blood on his hands when he was Levi. Okay? And God chose Levi. Levite priests always had blood on their hands every single day. Okay? God did not pick the Levites because they were better than the Judites and the Gadites and the Ephraimites. He chose them because they were just like their brothers. Full of guile, full of sin, full of wickedness. They were just like everybody else. Now watch this. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. When Jesus came to this earth, I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus had a sin nature, but not sin? Okay? Wouldn't be fair for Jesus to not have any inclination towards sin whatsoever and then go through life and be tempted and say, see, that was easy. I don't know what's the matter with you guys. Okay? He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. And the devil waited until 40 days in the wilderness when he was weak and he wanted water and he wanted bread. And Jesus passed the test. He is the sinless Son of God. Amen? Now watch this. You have a ministry. And in that, God did not make you better than your neighbor or your cousins and sisters and your family or even your mom and dad. He made you like them. Now watch this. The reason why God did that is so he could make him a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to let you go. Okay? God showed me this a long time ago and it helped me. It helped me stay as the pastor. You cannot imagine how many times I wanted to quit. But God showed me this, that when, let's say that Ryan and Sasha, they come in on a Friday morning and they come carrying, he's got the best lamb. He's been raising this thing. Going to go to the county fair with it. Going to show it off. Okay? God's dealing with Ryan and Sasha about their sins. And so Ryan and Sasha come in. They know the law. So they come in with a spotless lamb. He had to go through the flock and he found one. One he had. So he's got a rope on his neck and he's taking it to the tabernacle. Now I'm the priest that stands at the entryway. And my job is, before I can let that lamb go in this place, I have to look it over and make sure it's spotless. Okay? Once I do that, I take that from his hand and I go inside the tabernacle. The very first thing that has to be done is that a portion of that lamb's sacrifice made for me. Why? Because I am just like Ryan. No better, no worse. But just like Ryan, I have to offer for myself first. Then I can offer for him. Now here's Christ. Now, Christ didn't have to do that. That's what makes him different. But Christ had a ministry of reconciliation. Not between himself and God. He was already reconciled to God. But between the sinners and God. So here's your ministry, angels. You used to be the marijuana smoker, the drug taker, the drunk. You used to be the adulterer. You used to have a dirty, filthy life. You used to do things that the Christian fundamentalist right wing of America says, we need to get these things out of our country. And because we've done them. And we know how bad it can turn out. But still and yet, our job is to reconcile sinners with God. And if you think that you're on a level above all of your neighbors and your families and the people that you know, they will never come to Christ because you're in the way. You see what I'm saying? So you're an angel now. You're a priestly angel. And it's your job that when you find people who want that lamb sacrificed, and he already has been, so that part's done. Your job is to show them that they too can be reconciled just like you have been. I think this world, I think the people of Festus, Missouri, and Jefferson County know that most church people are a joke. I think they know that. I think they know that most Christians are frauds and phonies because they make themselves higher than everybody else. And that's one of the reasons why they're not coming here. Amen? That's not what God called you to be. God called you to be a priest. And your job is to reconcile the people who are just like you, because you were reconciled. Does that make sense? Let's bow our heads. And I want you to visit with the Lord here for a minute. And I'll just tell you where my heart is. In my nature, I have a very arrogant spirit. And I have looked at people. I have looked at sinful people. I've looked at other preachers. And I've elevated myself above them, because I thought that I was better than they are. And, you know, that thing comes to your mind, well, at least I didn't do that, or at least I'm not like this. And the Holy Ghost always comes after me with that rod. And I say, okay, God, if I really am like that person, and I am, why in the world are you so good to me? So what I have in my own life is a ministry of reconciliation, where people would see that I do not think that I'm better than anybody. And they would be drawn to that because they're tired of the church people that think they are. What I'd like to have for this church is a church who doesn't think that they're better than anybody, because I know them, and we're not. We have a ministry of priestly angels. God made us lower than the angels, so that when sinners come to us ready to have their sins paid for, they'll come to us, we won't look down our noses at them. They'll come to us knowing that we had to have our sins paid for too. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, who was in all of us. And Lord, you still got to deal with me. Because, Lord, there are times that I think that what I'm doing is better than what somebody else does. And you've been faithful to me, Lord, to remind me that I really am not better than anybody. But you've called us here as your sons. Just like Aaron had sons who followed in his footsteps as priests, Lord, we are your sons. And you've called us to be in that order of Melchizedek, even though we're humans. We're just the son of men. And so, Lord, teach us how to have that ministry of reconciliation. How to look at the dope heads and the drunkards and the people with their tattoo sleeves and their piercings all over and the people that smell like sin and the people whose mouth is defiled and people who do things, God, that you called us not to do anymore. Help us, Father, with them to have a ministry of reconciliation. And Father, teach us, God, that it is not our job to clean their lives up. It's yours. You just asked us to stand at the tabernacle door and let them know that God's going to forgive all of their sins because he forgave us first. So, Father, ministry, help us, dear God, to walk in your calling as your sons. Help us, Lord, to do you honor all the days of our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Something God's been dealing with me about over the years is how I look at people who come in to this church, especially the ones who come in for the first time. Okay, and there are things that I don't throw a fit over when some new people come in that I guarantee you 10, 20 years ago, I'd have never opened the door. Never. Okay? I'm glad they're here. It's our job to reconcile them with God, to bring them to that reconciliation. God will clean up all that other stuff. You believe that? Say amen. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. I appreciate you.